Let's go right to California, to Stephen. Stephen, how can I help you?
Yes, Father. My question is, last year, at the very beginning of Advent, I decided to start praying for my neighbors whom I have a difficult time with, praying for my enemies, trying to love them as I love myself. And so difficult. It is so difficult. And then I found it became easier and easier. And then one of my neighbors who disdains me, but I continue to pray for, his health is gone, and I pray for his health. And now I feel this enormous responsibility for his health. And I continue to offer him and my intentions when I say the rosary, but it is always so difficult. So that's my question. For how long does that last?
Well, first of all, you're right that, making the choice to love, which is what you're talking about, because so many people think love is an emotion. There is such a thing that we call love that is an emotional thing. But that's not the love we talk about in Christian theology, the love of charity, of agape, because agape is a choice. It's a choice to want, will, and work for the true good of the other. That's what it means to love in the way that we're called to love. It's not a feeling. I may feel like loving someone. I may feel like not loving someone. And feelings don't really matter when it comes to love. Choices do. Now, I know that goes up against all the romantic music of Eros, of romantic love. And I'm the first to say there is such a thing as romantic love that has feelings involved with it. But let's be honest, and I think anybody who's been married for any period of time knows that you're not always going to feel like loving your spouse. And if love was just based on a feeling, then people could fall in and out of love. You don't fall in and out of love. You choose to quit loving, or you choose to love, but no one ever falls out of love. They choose not to love anymore, at least love in the meaningful sense of the term that we're looking at. And if we rely just on feelings, we'd be in a very hurting place, because there's lots and lots of times that people don't feel like loving, but yet they choose to do the loving thing. So love is a choice. And you made the choice to love your neighbors in a more profound and deep way because you experienced God calling you to that. Right, Stephen?
Yes, that's correct. That's how it happened, yes.
Yeah. So at first it was difficult, but it got easier, as you said, in the year since you've done that. It's been a year since you've done that. But now you're up against a more difficult situation because your neighbor is both sick, and for whatever reason, your neighbor hasn't reciprocated the love that you have chosen to show him. And that's often the case. It's one of the great mysteries in life. But again, it's the mystery of free will, that sometimes love is not loved. That's what we see every time we look at the crucifix. Infinite love was rejected by us. Every crucifix is a reminder that love was rejected by those who chose to hate. And in a way, because we've all chosen to sin, all of us have chosen to reject love in one way or the other. So we recognize that that can happen. That doesn't mean we quit loving. It means actually we redouble our efforts to choose to love the other, even when they make themselves unlovable, or when they choose not to love us back, or when love is difficult in the case of someone in special needs or whatever. There we're called in a particular way to make the choice to love.
Yes, I can understand that. And it's a challenge, and I find myself examining my own conscience, about it, if I'm being forthright, and if it's really coming from love. And then I thought to myself, it could only come from God, so this is his will. And it's just, it's sometimes difficult.
It is, but what I, that's one of the reasons, Jesus says sometimes we need fasting and prayer when dealing with that which is, evil. He's talking about the casting out of demons. But the point is, fasting and prayer are two things that purify our love and make it easier, because we make the choice to do those little loving acts of fasting and prayer. It makes it easier also to love others, when, you know, quite frankly, they are difficult to love.
Yes, yes, because that has been a, you know, I've done the neighborly thing. You know, I greet and get no response in return, but I don't let that affect me. You know.
Well, I was going to ask what.
And pray.
Yeah, what's you said he despises you. What in particular does he find? You know, what where's the friction, if you will?
I think it came from a misunderstanding over a real stupid thing, a piece of property that was damaged, you know, that he thought I did on his property, you know, because we live in a very confined space, and he thought it was I that did it. And it was not, you know, and I accepted the fact that he berated me, attacked me on it, and threatened me. And later on, it was made, a person came and confessed to him that they, in fact, had did it, and they didn't get back soon enough to tell him, and that they apologized to him. And then they came and apologized to me, finding out through his wife that he thought it was me all the time. And then the person apologized to me, too, and I said, there's no need, you know. I said, God's will be done, and I'm fine. Thank you so much, you know. And that came from God, I think, because, you know, what would have brought that person to my doorstep to say, hey, I'm very sorry that you've taken the brunt of this, you know, and ever since then, you know, that communication stopped between myself and the neighbor, you know.
Well, he may be embarrassed a little bit that he blamed you, but, you know, life's too short for grudges. And I'll say that to everybody out there. This is one of the things, maybe because I'm in my 60s now, that I see quite clearly. Life is too short for grudges, and if there's anything that's the antithesis of the gospel of Jesus Christ, it's for people to hold grudges. And, of course, you can't make the other person give up his grudge against you. Even in this case, very clearly, it's in the wrong because you were never the one at fault. He was wrong to blame you. But don't hold that against him. You know, love him even though he doesn't love you back. Continue to be a great neighbor. Continue to offer prayer and sacrifices for him. Now, remember, though, the one thing you said in your introduction that I just want to say, you are not responsible for his health. So I don't want you to feel guilty that somehow that's on you. You are responsible to be a good neighbor, to love him and to pray for him, to offer those sacrifices we're called to those who are close to us in our communities. But you're not responsible for his health. In many ways, he's responsible for his health and those who serve him as doctors, his wife, his family. But you are not in that sense. And so I don't want you to feel guilty that he's not doing well or whatever, because you can pray for him and you can offer sacrifices for him, especially as he's struggling in health. But, you know, I don't want you to feel scrupulously or disproportionately responsible for something that you don't have an effect on.
Thank you, Father. I appreciate it. Thank you so much.